Well, hi. How are you? Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. I'm Michael Kroos. I'm the chief geek here at Ask the Garden Geek. And I got a really cool email. I get a lot of emails. But I got a really cool one from a lady named Dorothy. Dorothy, how are you? Hope you're having a great day. By the way, if you want to send me an email, it's an easy email. It's michael.kroese, C-R-O-S-E, at gmail.com. And I answer my email. I answer it, you know, on the radio show or the podcast, or I answer it. Well, I always do that, but I always answer it personally. You email me, I will email you back and answer, as I did with Dorothy. But the email that I sent Dorothy is short compared to what I'm going to discuss about the email, which will be long. Does that make sense? I don't know. Let's just go for it. Anyway, what she was asking about is she was saying that commercially bagged cow poop is not good. That's what she was told. Do I think it's good, or should she just go right to the source and get cow poop out of the cow pasture, and there's one near her? Well, you know, do what makes your heart sing, but, you know, I don't do that. I will tell you what I buy. And I'll even throw in an exciting story about this. I buy Black Cow. That's the brand name that I buy. I think it's available everywhere. If it's not, it's available in most places. But there's a lot of really cool commercial, you know, cow poop bagged stuff out there. I do that simply because I don't want to go in cow pastures and scoop up cow poop. Because the cow poop that you have to use has to be dried cow poop. It has to be like totally and completely dried through and through. You don't want it wet. You know why? It's just gross. You just don't. And besides that, when it's dry, a lot of the bacteria is gone. There's still some bacteria. The cow poop that I buy from Black Cow, I know it's safe. It's not expensive. I just went and bought two bags of it because of my daughter. How's that? And we should get to that in just a moment. But that's what I do. I buy the Black Cow. Now let's get to my daughter. I have a exquisitely wonderful daughter who's 32 years old, who has three children, which are my grandchildren, which are three of my five grandchildren, who I love immensely. The oldest one is 7, and the youngest one, I think, is like 18, 19 months. I don't know. She's just so adorable. And there's a middle one in there that's 3. And they, I've named them. Boodle Butt is the 7-year-old. These are my names. Baby Boodle is the middle one. And then Petunia is the daughter, my only, you know, my granddaughter from her side. I got a granddaughter on the other, my other son has given me, I have two granddaughters. So anyway, my darling daughter says, Dad, you know, she was telling me when she lived in Kansas and she moved here. She moved here rather suddenly, another story. But she moved here rather suddenly with the kids. She's living with the former Mrs. Kroese in their house, which was also an interesting subject because the other Mrs. Kroese wanted them to live in my house. And I had to explain to the other Mrs. Kroese that I have a small 3-bedroom, 2-bath house, but it's only 1,100 square feet, 1,125 square feet. The former Mrs. Kroese has my old house that she lives in with her husband, her new husband. It's 2,600 square feet. It has not one, but 2 family rooms. And her smallest family room, which I built, by the way, is literally twice the size of my living room. And she's got all these other bedrooms. So, and 2 family rooms in a big backyard. So I just, you know, I'd say, no. And I'm older than you, a lot older than you. And, you know, you have to deal with it. So they're living with her. I'm helping out. They come over here all the time. And my darling daughter wants to, you know, when she was in Kansas, she wanted me to come out there and help her do a vegetable garden. And she had actually rototilled a large area out, borrowed a rototiller and rototilled a large area out. And I was supposed to go out there and help her. I, you know, told her, no, that is just way too big of an area. You have to do a smaller area. So now she's here and she wants to do flower gardening. She says, you know, I said, we're a little late for vegetable gardening here in Florida. It's getting too hot. So she says, well, I want to grow. I said, okay. She says, I want to grow flowers. She goes, I just love flowers, and I would like to grow lots of flowers. I said, okay. So her and her mama went out and bought a ton, and I mean a ton of flower seeds, all kinds of stuff. I haven't even looked at it yet, but she told me she's got something like 23 packs of flower seeds of various types. So I happen to have some flats, and when I grow seeds, I have a little trick that includes cow poop on germinating seeds. And I'm going to share that with you now because Cassie's coming over here this weekend, and we're going to do this since I bought the cow poop. I bought the black cow. But I also have vermiculite, straight vermiculite. And what I do is I take flats and I put vermiculite in the flats. And I like vermiculite. It's light. I just like it. And then I work in cow poop. I work in the black cow. I, you know, put in the vermiculite first, and I cover the top with black cow, with cow poop. And then I take a little trowel, and I just kind of work it all in. I just kind of shovel it all around, mix it all together, and work it all in. And then I get it all wet. I take a, you know, a little watering can or a little hose with a very gentle stream on it, and I will get it all nice and wet. And then I plant my seeds. And I've always been successful at growing seeds that way, with that combination. Now, I used to grow seeds strictly in vermiculite, and it did okay. But when a friend of mine told me about using the black cow, the cow poop, and mixing it in there, and he said, you're going to have much more success. I did not believe him. Now, the other trick that I do in addition to that is I water it all and I get it nice and wet, but then I do one final watering with a 1 gallon. And by the way, I do like 3 flats at a time. I've got 3 flats out there that I'm going to set up for my darling daughter to do her seed planting in. And the next trick that I use is after it's all watered and it's all sitting out there in indirect light, by the way, but light, indirect light, is I mix up 1 gallon in a water can, and I put one capful of Super Thrive in there, and I water it with that. So the Super Thrive is in there. And then we put the seeds in. That's all we do. And we just sit and watch and wait for the seeds to grow. I don't put them in direct sunlight. I put them under a tree that's over on the... It's actually not my tree. It's my neighbor's tree on the one side of my property. I have no trees in my backyard, thank God. But over in the one side, on one side of my house, my neighbor's got a tree that hangs over. And I put it there. So that is what we will do. And we'll do that this weekend. And she's going to get a bunch of flowers going. I said, what are you going to do with all the flowers? She said, I'm going to put them in hanging baskets, and I'm going to hang them all over Mom's house. I said, well, that sounds like a wonderful thing to do. And she said, yes, and I'm going to put them in pots, and I'm just going to put them all around the house. I like flowers all around the house. Well, you know what? So do I. I said, hey, Cass, you know, I'm helping you do this. I'd just like to do that at my house. Because I genuinely love, and I haven't had it in years, I genuinely love having flowers all over the inside of my house. It is, I will tell you as a person, I'm not even going to say as a plant person, just as a person, you have no idea what the scent and the plain essence of having flowers in your house does for your mood. If you're even the slightest bit depressed, it will bring you up. It brings you up just a little bit, just enough. Doesn't solve your problems, but it brings you up just a little enough. I haven't in forever. But I remember once in a very, you know, rough time of my life, I had flowers in my bedroom on my nightstands, on both the nightstands. And I was incredibly depressed, just beyond being depressed. And I had flowers on my nightstand, and I had flowers all over my house. I put flowers everywhere, in the dining room, in the kitchen, in the living room, in my studio. I just had flowers everywhere. And, you know, it's temporary, and you have to maintain them, and you have to water them, and they're not going to last forever. But it is so worth it. It is just so very worth it for your emotional well-being. It just is. And you don't have to go all bonzo like that, because at other times, I always had flowers in my dining room. Always. Always had flowers in the dining room. They were either flowers that I grew Or I would just go to the store and buy cut flowers and stick them in a vase on the dining room. I always had fresh cut flowers on a vase in the dining room. It was just something I always did. And when the family would sit down for a meal, it was there. It was part of our existence. It was part of who we were. And I just think it's a wonderful thing to do, and I'm looking forward to getting back into that with my exquisitely wonderful daughter, who is going to, you know, help me set the house up with lots of flowers, and her mother's house too. Isn't that nice that I'm going to assist her mother? What a nice guy I am. You're listening to The Garden Geek. Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. I'm Michael Kroos, and you know what we do here. The first thing I'm going to do is apologize to you. I am sorry if you were listening last week in this segment and the next couple of segments. You heard repeats. The first segment was original. You know, the one before this was original. But my throat was dying. It's not much better now. It is significantly better, but not right where it needs to be. I had some kind of throat thing going on, and I was in pain. I finished that segment, and I was just in immense, immense pain. So, yeah, golly gee willikers. Now, this is Thursday. I always record these on Thursday. And yesterday was my Wednesday mow. Yesterday was the day. I'm now mowing on the weekend. And on the weekend, I do, you know, I mow, I edge, I blow, I do everything, right? But on Wednesday evening, when I get home from work, it is my Wednesday mow only. I just go out there and mow. But we have not had rain, which I'm thankful for, so the grass did not need mowing. But I mowed the front yard anyway. And then I just made an executive decision that my Wednesday mow, because it is really stinking hot here in Florida where I live. I mean, it is stinking hot. It was 95 degrees today. I don't know where you live, but I know it was a lot cooler where you live than it is where I live, unless you live south of here or you live here. But I will tell you, it was stinking hot. So I made an executive decision. I'm only going to do the Wednesday mow on the front yard, and the backyard will just, you know, get Saturday mow because nobody goes in my backyard. My backyard is a secret place where no one's allowed. No one is allowed in my backyard. I don't know why. I just, you know. And, you know, that's not really true. My grandkids go out there and play all the time, you know. So they're allowed in the backyard. And my daughter goes out in the backyard. My son Zach and his girlfriend, they go out in the backyard. Yeah. Okay, so, but other people, you know, my family goes in the backyard and they don't care that the grass is a little bit taller. I do mow that on the weekends, but not on that day. So anyway, I was out looking at the yard yesterday when I was getting ready to do the Wednesday mow. And I was, yeah, I just was not happy with the color on the front yard. My neighbor was happy with the color on my front yard. He was in, you know, he was talking, hell, your yard. Look, I just was not happy. I was absolutely not happy. Now, we are coming very close to June 1st here. And in June 1st, fertilizer is banned. We don't have fertilizer between June and I think it's September or maybe even October. But, you know, we're out of the fertilizer. They don't sell it and we're not allowed to put it down. That is it. And by the way, that is because they're worried about runoff and it is not based on science. And it's malarkey, but it's the law. And I'm somebody who obeys the law. I'm a rule follower. The older I get, the more rules I follow, which is strange. I, you know, when I was young, I was, oh, yeah. But the older I get, the more rules I follow. You know, I go the speed limit, which irritates my kids, like, beyond belief. It used to irritate my late mother that I drove the speed limit. She goes, you're so putzy. But anyway, I have to get some fertilizer on the lawn before the 1st, which is next week. So I've already put Mill Organite like crazy down there. But I think it needs a punch. I actually think the lawn needs more than Mill Organite. I think it needs a little bit of a faster release nitrogen. And I think it needs that nitrogen needs to be balanced with potassium. And even though we have pretty much gotten rid of phosphorus in our fertilizers for the same non-scientific reason, by the way, you can still buy fertilizers with phosphorus in it, and that is what I'm going to do. I have made a decision. Now, they make a 10-10-10 fertilizer here locally that has all kinds of micronutrients in it. And I'm going to go out and buy 10-10-10 fertilizer, and I'm going to put it on the yard in such a way that it goes down at a half a pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet. So let's figure that out for a little bit, shall we? A 10-10-10, 100 pounds of 10-10-10, has 10 pounds of nitrogen in it. A 50-pound bag, well, has 5 pounds of nitrogen. So I want to go down at half a pound per 1,000 square feet. My front yard is 2,500 square feet. I'm only going to put it on the front yard. I'm not putting it in the backyard. So that means that if one bag has 5 pounds of nitrogen in it, then half a bag has 2.5 pounds of nitrogen in it. But that would be putting me down at 1 pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet. So that means that I'm going to use 12.5 pounds of fertilizer to do my 2,500 square feet lawn, front lawn, which will in fact give me half a pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet, which I think will give it a good boost. Now, it's a little hot in my mind to put any more than that on, but that's what I'm going to put down, and I will immediately water it in. And I am famous for not watering my lawn. I am famous for letting the universe water my yard. Whenever the Lord, the good Lord, says that the lawn must be watered, he gives me rain. And when the rain comes, they run and hide their heads. They might as well be, no, that's not a Small Beatles song. But when the rain comes, it does that, which is why I'm such a big fan of 100% organic milorganite, because it will wait for rain, which is very good. I like that. But this time, I'm going to be using a chemical fertilizer, which will not wait for rain. So I am going to be watered in, which brings me to this nifty, really nifty sprinkler that I bought at a garage sale. And I cannot find the brand name on it. It's green, and it's one of those where you hook the hose up to it, and it's got the oscillating, you know, it shoots it way up in the air, and it oscillates back and forth. Well, I normally don't like those. But this one, it just seems to put out a lot more water than the traditional ones do. And I just, you know, I took it out in the backyard just to try it out. And I turned it on, and I could not believe. Then I went to the front yard, and I just tried it out. And that thing will actually cover, that one little sprinkler will actually cover my entire front yard, except on the other side of the driveway. So I can stick it there, water this on, and then I can just go over to the other side of the driveway, where it's just a small, you know, section of grass, and I'll hand water that in, you know, because I like standing out there with a hose. I just do. Man, I am the most unexciting person that I know. I just, you know, I get thrilled mowing the lawn on Wednesdays, and I'll be thrilled to go out there and just hand water that section in all by myself to get that chemical fertilizer in before June 1st, which I hope will make the lawn look better. I just hope that the lawn will look better. And by the way, have you bought fertilizer lately? Fertilizer is so expensive. I was at one of my suppliers. I used to use, when I was doing commercial lawn care, a 24-5-11 fertilizer. And in those days, which was not all that long ago, I guess it was probably 15 years ago, a 24-5-11 bag, 50-pound bag, I was paying $11 for. It's $35 now. Wow. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek. and welcome to this edition of Ask the Garden Geek. My name is Michael Croce. I'm not going to talk a lot about gardening in this segment. I'm going to be talking about household stuff and the church around the corner. I'm going to talk about the church around the corner just because it's interesting. I grew up in this town. For all practical purposes, I moved here in 1965, and I was in junior high school. And when I moved here in 1965, there was a Methodist church around the corner from the school. And it's not far from my house. It's very close to my now house. And when I was very active in choir, and as part of our choir group, there was some of us who would go up there and sing on Sundays at that church because the choir director from that church was friends with our choir director. And just through a little referral thing, they said, you know, you can come here and practice. And I used to compete in voice back in those days. I used to go to contests and things like that. So any opportunity I had to sing, I sang. And I'm going to tell you something about me that you probably don't know. I absolutely love church choir music. I just love it. I have been known to visit churches of different denominations. You know, if I'm traveling, I will go because I want to check out the choir. You know, I listen to the sermon, but I am there primarily for the choir. So, you know, in the summertime, most churches don't have choirs, but during, you know, the school year, the wintertime, they all have good choirs. And I just love. When I was in Michigan several years ago on a trip, I went to a church just to hear the choir in a small town. It was lovely. So that's just one of the things. So I used to sing in that choir. I used to sing in a couple of church choirs around town through junior high school and high school because it was a good experience. And then as I became an adult at the church that I went to, I was, of course, in the choir. I was also in the community chorus. So that was just one of the things I did. But that church in particular, I was very familiar with. Plus, a lot of kids that I went to school with went to that church because they lived in that neighborhood. I didn't live in that neighborhood then, so I didn't go to that church except to go sing in the choir once in a while. And so I've just known that church. Now, let's fast forward a whole bunch of years. When my last three children were young, I lived not far from that church in my previous house that I lived in. And in the summertime, they had programs at that church. I drove by, saw the sign, and I said, well, you know, that might be interesting. So took the kids up there. I met the pastor, wonderful man, and enrolled the kids in these programs that they had. And they loved it. And I loved the pastor. He was a wonderful man. He left not terribly long after that to go to another church. But anyway, you know, then the kids stopped going there over a period of time. And it just went on and on and on. Well, then, and it's a Methodist church, by the way. And as you may know, and maybe you don't know, mainstream churches are into the decline right now. The evangelical churches, the Bobby the pastor type church, who just him and his wife decide to make a church, and there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. Those churches are taking off, but the Presbyterian churches, the Methodist churches, the Lutheran churches, they're all suffering. I was in Palm Beach several years ago, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, and I went to a Lutheran church there just to watch the choir, by the way. And a beautiful church, right on the main drag in Palm Beach, in West Palm Beach. And, it was in decline. The membership was in terrible decline. And it was a shame. Well, this happened to this Methodist church that I'm talking about that I don't live far from. And the next thing you know, they merged with a church in downtown Dunedin. And then another Methodist church, an African-American Methodist church, came in there. And they only stayed for about a year. And I drove by there and it said, oh, we're moving, you know, to another part of town, into another empty church that we found. So then the church was vacant. And then the next thing I know, there were those yellow signs that you see when there's rezoning that's going to happen. And the next thing you know, I saw them last week tearing the church down. Now, the church has a main building where, where everything happens, the sanctuary is at. And then it had large buildings with classrooms. I mean, very large buildings with classrooms. And they started with the classrooms and they tore them all down and they stopped at the sanctuary. They didn't tear the sanctuary down. And I said, and then there was a sign up that, you know, there's going to be single family homes going in there. It's going to be this wonderful neighborhood. And I said, okay, but why didn't they tear down the main sanctuary? And I drive by it every day. I drove by there yesterday morning and, the crew had not been there in a couple of days. Well, the crew was there when I drove by, and I actually had to pull over because what I witnessed was something that, in my mind, was absolutely incredible. The crew, they had, you know, the big, heavy machinery to knock down this big building. They were all out there on the side of that building, and they were in a circle, and they were holding hands, and they were praying. And I said, wow, that's so interesting. And I had to keep going. I had places to go. And as I drove by later in the day, they had pretty much more than halfway knocked down the building. And they were coming out there. And I just drove in. And there was one of the workers was getting in his car. And I said, can I ask you a question? And he said, yeah. I said, you're knocking down the church. He goes, yeah. I said, I saw you guys out there praying this morning. He goes, yeah. He says, not that we're all that religious, but this was a place of God for many, many years. And the gentleman I was talking to went to church there when he was a child. And he said, it was our, you know, it was reverence. We wanted to show respect. I was just, I don't know, I was just blown away by that. And I thanked him very much. And, you know, by tomorrow, it'll all be gone. It'll all be gone. And eventually there'll be houses there. But I just found that to be, I don't know. I just decided to share it with you. I hope I don't offend anybody by sharing that with you. But it touched my heart. It truly, truly did. Now, to change the subject, we're going to talk about my roof. I bought my house, it'll be coming on 13 years ago. I bought my house. In August, it'll be 13 years that I've been in this house. And when I bought it, the roof was 1 year old. So that means that my roof is 14 years old. We've been having a lot of rain, tons and tons of rain. Now, I've owned a bunch of houses, and I've replaced a number of roofs. I really have. And I kind of know about roofs. But, you know, I am one who will ride a roof out until it needs to be replaced, and then I replace the roof. And it's usually, it just kind of works out that way. And this time, the second Mrs. Gross, my favorite Mrs. Gross, by the way, there was three, second one, Diane, my favorite Mrs. Gross, was over, she's over at my house all the time because she runs an eBay business out of here. And she says, look at your ceiling. And I looked up at the ceiling and there was a water stain up there. This was, I don't know, 2 months ago. And I said, you know, I wonder if it's the air handler from my air conditioner. I'm going to bet that that's what it is. So I just every so once in a while, I'd go look up there. And my roof's in pretty good shape. I just didn't think that was the case. Well, then we've been having all this rain. And the next thing I know, I'm looking up there. And we just had days and days of rain. And I'm looking up there at my ceiling. And this water spot had gotten bigger. And I said, it's not the air conditioner. It is not. So then I went up in the attic. And the air conditioner air handler is nowhere near where that was. And I shined the flashlight over to that end, and I saw where it was leaking. I saw where there was a leak. I went out, and I looked at the roof, and I said, oh, man. And I'm sitting there saying, I don't have $8,000 to spend on a roof right now. I really don't. And my good friend said, hey, I got a guy. I said, really? He goes, I got a guy. He said, he has fixed my roof a couple of times. I said, what? He goes, my roof is 22 years old. And he says, I'm going to replace my roof this year, but I've had a couple of leaks, and this guy comes and he fixes the leaks. And I said, what's he charge? He goes, $200 or $300. I said, really? So he gave me the guy's number, and I just stuck it somewhere, and I didn't call him. And then we just had another big thing of rain, and I noticed a little tiny crack up in the ceiling where that stain was. So I said, okay, call the guy. I have a asphalt shingle roof. He drove up. He looks at it. Nice guy. He says, I know right where it is without even going in your house. I know right where it is. And he points up there. He goes, that's where I said, well, come in the house, look at the leak. He goes in. He looks at the leak. I said, you want to go in the attic? He said, I don't need to. I'm going to go up on the roof. I'm going to fix this thing. He went up on the roof, and he said that there were two pieces of plywood that were stuck together, you know, where the seam was. And one had raised a little bit, which had caused the leak. He took off the shingles and laid down some kind of thing and fixed it. And then he put the shingles back where they were, and he said it'll never leak there again. And it was $200. I was amazed. Absolutely amazed. It's snowing in Ely, Nevada, and it's the end of May. Hi, everybody. Michael Crows here. Ask the Garden Geek. Wyatt Cox, the station manager at WELE in Ely, Nevada. By the way, I've worked with Wyatt for years. We used to work together at the Sun Radio Network, and then we worked together at the People's Radio Network. And, you know, he's an old curmudgeon radio broadcaster, and he stuck a video up on Facebook this morning, and there was snow on the ground. He walked out of his house, and there was snow at the end of May. And I'm going, wow, in Ely, Nevada. I remember, just, you know, Wyatt lived in Las Vegas, and I remember when he moved to Las Vegas, I said, what are you doing in Las Vegas? He goes, I love Las Vegas. And he worked for the, you know, radio station group out in Las Vegas. And he also had a nighttime job at a casino out there where he wasn't a dealer. He was like a greeter, but he wore this tuxedo, and he just loved it because he got to kind of entertain. And Wyatt's an entertainer. Wyatt would have been perfect as a professional wrestling announcer. He just would have been perfect as a professional wrestling announcer. And I remember talking to him then, and I said, what are you doing? He goes, I'm never leaving Las Vegas. I said, you need to come back to Florida. He goes, I'm not leaving Las Vegas. He says, I'm here forever. Well, that didn't last forever, but it lasted a good number of years. And then he moved out to this tiny little town of Ely, Nevada, where he put up a website, a news website, and he started a morning radio show. At the old People's Radio Network, there was a morning radio show that he used to host. And when the People's Radio Network disappeared off the face of the earth, Wyatt just recreated that radio show himself and started syndicating it out of his apartment in his little town of Nevada. He would, you know, started it. It was a morning radio show that was from 6 until, I think it was a one-hour show. It was 6 to 7 in the morning. And it was designed for rural radio stations. And he had a farm report on it and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, just had all these features in it. And he syndicated it, you know, via computer. The radio stations would have to download it off of a site that he had. And they would broadcast it. And he did that for years. And then he went from there and he started doing Christmas music. He still does the Christmas music. The morning radio show he got rid of some time ago because now he's working for a group of radio stations, not only in Ely, but all around Nevada. And he's just a good guy. Wyatt, I'm proud of you. You know, can't believe you've hung in there as a broadcaster. Can't believe you left Las Vegas. I remember when I knew Wyatt, he lived in a camper in St. Petersburg, Florida, with two dogs. And we all worked at this network together. And then he moved up to White Springs, Florida, to work at the People's Radio Network. And he lived at the historic Telford Hotel. And now he's out in Ely, Nevada. And he's got a turtle dove that lives in, she's from the Philippines, but she's living in Japan right now. And he wants to marry her. And he wants to move to the Philippines and retire. He's about 3 years out from the retirement. And then we're going to lose Wyatt. He's going to move to the Philippines and, you know, live out his life there and enjoy life and be done with all of this hard work he's doing. Good for you, Wyatt. All right, real quick. Real quick. What is my favorite? And this is emails that I'm getting. what is my favorite chemical insecticide, and, of course, what is my favorite organic insecticide. I don't have a favorite chemical insecticide. I don't. But I have a favorite organic insecticide. As a matter of fact, I've got a couple of them. You know, if you're going after worms, I like any Bacillus thuringiensis product. Does it really, it's a bacteria. It does no harm to the environment whatsoever at all. And you just slap it on, you know, if hibiscus, if it's got the hibiscus worms, they get on there, the caterpillars, and chew it. Just spray this on, and they're dead. If you get sod webworms in your yard, just spray this on towards the evening. They come out and eat it, and they all die. And it's all, you know, you're not hurting the environment, not hurting your puppies or your kittens or your kids or your grandmother. Everything's safe and wonderful. That's one of them. Diatomaceous earth. I used to love diatomaceous earth. I used to absolutely love it, and I still do, but very limited use as an insecticide. I used to advocate broadcasting it all over your shrubs. Nope. Spot treatments where you need it as a dust. Spot treatments where you need it as a dust. Make sure you buy the right diatomaceous earth. Make sure you buy the diatomaceous earth that is all natural. Safer has one. Very reasonably priced. It's good product. All natural. Diatoms. Wonderful stuff. It'll work well for you. So that would be the other ones. The other ones, and there's several brand names of these out there, but these have what we call botanical oils. Sesame oil, which works really well if you know how to blend it. And there's just some products out there that are on the market that have mint oil and things like that. I got to tell you, they're working really, really, really well. And I'm using that, you know, when I use an insecticide outside, I'm using those products. And not that I'm against using chemical insecticide. I will tell you right now, when I get chinch bugs in my front yard, I use bifenthrin, which is a chemical insecticide. I do it as a spot treatment in that area. But if I just was going out, say I wanted to spray around all my shrubs because there was a lot of bugs, a lot of ants and roaches and things like that crawling through my mulch and my shrubs, I'm going to, Essentra is the product that I use. You can find it on Amazon. And you mix it up in a pump-up sprayer. I have a 2-gallon pump-up sprayer. And you just spray it. And it's all natural. It's all botanicals. And it works really well. And here's what I don't like about it, but I'm the only person in America that doesn't like it. It has this crazy botanical smell. I don't keep my Essentria in my house. I don't keep it in my garage. I have a plastic bin in my backyard at the backside of my property that I keep it in. Because the smell, the botanical smell, which everyone except me loves, in my mind, is just too overbearing. And I can't stand it. So, you know, that's just me. But I don't have a favorite chemical insecticide anymore. I used to, but I just don't. And I'm not using a lot of insecticides out in the environment, out, if you have termites, yes, you're going to use that. If you have, like I say, if I get chinch bugs in my yard, I'm going to use a chemical insecticide because the botanicals don't work on chinch bugs. But other than that, good stuff. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek.